Hebrews 6. If I mess with your theology, that's good. Because if this messes with your theology needs to be messed with.
Amen.
How many of you emphatically God meant what he says? So I want to talk to you this morning about leaving some things behind and pursuing God. And God tells us what to leave behind. I'm not going to shout because I want to get through this. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles, let us press on to perfection or maturity. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptism, of the laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Wow. You know something? There are believers that if we couldn't talk about these things, we'd have nothing to talk about with God. They just wouldn't have anything to say. Because some of these things are the biggest arguments the church has. Verse number 5, chapter number 5 and verse number 12, same book. For though by the time you ought to be teachers. Isn't that interesting? By the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And you may look at me and say, what in the world are you doing? I don't know. But we're going to have fun doing it. We have become satisfied by knowing the elementary things about God. And because we know most likely that we're going to heaven, we know about baptisms. And if we're going to get to heaven and we're not going to die, there's going to have to be a resurrection of this body. A change. If we are dead, there still needs to be a resurrection. We know that there's a hell, but we keep talking about it and arguing with people who don't believe in it. And we know that we need to have faith in God, but faith in God goes deeper than just belief. So what do? God says it's time to leave those things where they are. God not interested in you knowing about him and what the doctrines are. God is interested in us and developing a relationship with him where we're asking questions about him and want to find out some secrets and some insights about his personal nature, about his character, and how he does things. But we are satisfied, and I'm not talking about you, it's everybody else that's not here today. So you can tell them, Pastor preached to you. And so it's time to get with God and build a relationship that's exciting. Don't you think there's some secrets about God you don't know that he probably is just waiting to reveal to you? God's hidden things, as Bill Johnson said, for our discovery. But we come to a place where, man, it's like the new wine and the old wine. The Bible says they like the old wine better than new wine because the old wine is better. The old wine is the Old Testament. I'm back in it, but I sure love the New Testament better. I love the way you say amen.
Amen.
And so we come to a place where God is saying, put that first one back up. The foundation of repentance from dead works. That's very interesting because it can go back to the law, but basically it's talking about legalism. If you don't fit into what I believe, then you don't fit into God. Almost every church has made their own rules. Do you realize when I was growing up and Moby Dick was a minnow, that you didn't wear Levi's to church? Man, that's a dress-up. You better get down here on your knees and confess. You know, you didn't do that. Boy, on Sunday mornings, you put a tie on and you put a shirt and you put dress slacks.
You preached to me all the way out here.
She got good taste. But there's a lot of things that are legalistic that has nothing to do with God. Man, I couldn't believe it when I walked in this church one time and somebody was there playing drums with shorts on. Dear God, roof is going to fall. You can't wear those Bermuda shorts and please God. It's an abomination. First Hezekiah says you can't do that. And so we come to a place where all this stuff and faith in God. Man, everybody must believe in God. And so we get in people's faces and we look at them because, well, you mean you don't believe in God? No, I haven't believed in God. Somebody, I talked to somebody last night. They didn't say it this way, but their family just had a death. Sometimes it's hard to believe in God. How about baptisms? Teaching of baptisms. If we don't know by now that baptism has nothing to do with our salvation, then we're lost. We baptize out of obedience. We're baptized because we come to Christ. If we were saved by baptism, Jesus wouldn't have had to die.
That's right.
And so we get caught up in baptism. The only baptism that really matters is baptism in the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. By one Spirit, we're baptized into one body. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one that does that. They're two different things. But we get caught up in that and we argue that. Laying on of hands. Kind of put to rest Sunday night. Up at Senior Center. Man, what a service. Laying on of hands. People touched, lives healed. We saw it visibly. But we don't have to keep talking about it. We just do it. Amen?
Amen.
And of course, resurrection. Well, you know, you're just made of dust and you'll go back to dust and you'll stay there. Or if I get cremated, then God will never find the pieces. Well, you're so special, if he couldn't find the pieces, he'll just make you all new. Come on. You don't have to be all getting, whoa, sacrilegious. And what about hell? Don't throw hell at people. Do you realize? That we're not the ones that determine their destiny. God is. But we've used to get really good at threatening people with hell. God wants us to keep them out of there. And so there's a lot of things that God says, hey, let's move on. Let's mature. If the denomination we're with or the church we're with needs to be defended, there's something wrong. You never have to defend God. I like that, what Kirk was talking about. We talked about it. That's simply this. If you can't use the Bible, what are you going to use to prove that God exists? I like that. Don't you think that somebody could probably understand that there wasn't some big bang and everything existed? Doesn't happen that way. Why aren't apes still turning into people? Maybe they have. I might be missing something. We come to a place where God has opened things up and says, come. And for some reason, we'd rather hang out where it's safe. We think it's safe. I believe personally in Malachi when God said, prove me now and see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you cannot contain. He's saying, test me. Try it. And maybe we're afraid of God. Maybe we're satisfied with knowing that our sins are forgiven and we're going to heaven. How many of you ever bought a different car? How many of you ever found all these buttons and all these things and everything in that new one, or different one? You know, my Explorer, I've got things I've been trying, but every time I try them, something blows up. So I... But we come to a place where, man, I got to find out what this does. And so one day going from Jorgensen's to Watertown to get my oil changed, I just started messing with my screen. Pretty soon my screen says, do that again, I'll cut your fingers off. So I got down to Watertown Ford and I said, Mike, you better come. I said, I lost everything. I lost my radio, lost my GPS. Just everything went bad. Who's laughing? And so Mike comes out, I lost my phone. I couldn't use my phone. Wouldn't even, well, forget it. You know me. So Mike comes out, and he's good, really good. And he says, "What in the world did you do?" I said, "Be quiet, I already heard that." So after about 10 or 15 minutes, he said, "Just shut everything down." He shut everything down and started over. Square one, two, three, four. But you know something? God loves to be pursued. God loves us to get in a place where when we don't understand, we don't see, we don't have a rational idea, we ask. So I started looking up some scriptures, kind of interesting. The secret things belong to the Lord, but those things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. The secret things belong to God. But then he tells us in Proverbs that he reveals the secret things to kings. It's a king to search out the matter. We're kings and queens. We have a right to search out the secrets that God hasn't revealed to us. But people don't ask. We'd rather stay with the things that we've formed our own opinion about, been indoctrinated with, come to a place where we just take this and believe it, and don't you dare question it. I'd like to talk to some of these old people from years ago. Some of the founders of our faith, like Martin Luther and John Wesley and the other people that set the order of things. They had to search out God to find out what he was telling them. Now we just take it and we stop searching. We stop asking. And God, I believe God gets bored. So what does he do? He picks up people that will. Do you understand? And I looked it up this morning, that Moses challenged God on a situation, and the Bible says this, now don't fall off your chairs, God repented. Isn't that interesting? God said, "I'm going to kill these people," and Moses said, "No, what are the Egyptians going to say? And what are these people going to say? And what are these people going to say? They're going to tell everybody that you just brought them out so you could kill them." And the Bible says God repented. God changed his mind. Why? How many have ever heard of Abraham? Abraham had a conversation with God that goes like this. God says, "I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah." And Abraham said, "God, for 50 people, will you spare it? For 40 people? 30, 20, 15, 10? And every time God said, "Yeah, I'll keep it safe for 10 people." And you know what hit me? Abraham, stop asking. God never told him, "I won't do it for 5. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, it's the glory of kings to search it out. What don't you understand about God? And how many times you ask him to reveal it to you? What are you struggling with? I just want to tell you a little story about Paul Tucker. Paul's is Steve's dad. Steve comes for our men's retreat. Steve and his family were up in Boundary Waters when a tornado hit. And before Paul knew that they were in a storm, God sent a messenger to tell him, your son's okay. Remember that? How did God know he was okay? Because God's had to send two men with coffee and clothes and everything that worked to Boundary Waters to rescue Steve and his family. That interesting? It's amazing. It's amazing. You see, we think, and I've preached it, so I know we think it, unless you just spit it out. We think God is interested in our relationship with him, and God's interested in our intimacy with him. God does not want a casual relationship with his family. God wants a relationship with his family. we're not afraid of him. That doesn't mean we're cocky and arrogant and we're doing all different kinds of stuff. It just means we have a trust, intimate relationship with God where we are communicating and we're asking and we're questioning and we're doing things so God can just reveal. Now, here's the deal. A lot of people think, well, that's just for preachers. Better plug your ears, Kirk. If that's just for preachers, then preachers aren't telling us that they're doing it. True. I want that relationship that's intimate where God's revealing things to me constantly. Don't live on the peripheral of a spiritual relationship of intimate with God. Don't live with the assumption, well, I'm going to heaven and I don't have anything to... You probably don't have a whole lot to worry about. But would you like that if your children had that relationship with you? Would you like that if the children never called, never came over and said, well, I know you're my mom and dad, but man, I don't want to bother you. God has opened a door. First Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians chapter 2. But as is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. We can stop there. In fact, it used to be a song, a chorus that says, isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes not seen, ears not heard, what's recorded in God's word? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Huh? I don't have a clue what you're doing, God, but you're wonderful. Verse 10. Don't miss this. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. What are you going to do with that? God has revealed to us what he's prepared for us. Where we're going. But I want to know, God, what have you prepared for me tomorrow? So what are we going to do with that? It's pretty amazing. What has happened in America is that when people back away from stepping into where God wants us, people abandon where they need to be. I looked at the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. I just started thinking. Five of the seven churches lost their focus. Five of seven churches lost focus. Ephesus started basing everything they did on what they were doing. Other churches allowed false doctrine in. Another church allowed a false lady prophet in. I don't know why. They must have wanted something added to what God was telling them. And God gave all five of those churches a chance to repent. Change your mind. Come back to where you were. There's nothing more exciting than have a on fire, current relationship with God where he's telling us things and showing us things and ministering to us, and we're following him instead of some denomination. Let me tell you a story. I'm not going to give away any identity because I'm working on it yet this week. I went in, had a man do some things for me. Had to go back 2 weeks later and finish the project. Came in the following weekend, last weekend. All of a sudden, his name was poof. I had to pray for him. Came in Sunday. Poof, I had to pray for him. Monday. So I left here. I went to his office, talked to somebody, and said, I need to meet with him just for 2 minutes. So they gave me a time, went back Wednesday. Told me I had a meeting at a certain time, sat there, and he got some emergency things to do, and I didn't get to meet with him. So Wednesday night before church, I called. Didn't get him then, but he called me back. I left him a message. I just said, everything okay? Don't know him. Met him twice. Don't have a clue. God does. I said, is everything fine? He said, I think so. He's talked to me for a few minutes. He said, I've never had anybody do this before. I said, yeah, maybe you won't want it again either. I didn't say that. So we talk. Pretty soon he starts opening up. I'm having lunch with him this week. Why? Because God wanted somebody just to pray for him. That's the kind of intimate relationship. So God, and you know, God can talk to you. God's word comes to you. God put people in your heart. And sometimes, unfortunately, we get so busy we don't take time to follow through. But God keeps bringing it back. I don't want to go to heaven and look at God as being a stranger. You know what I mean? I don't want to go to God without realizing you've built this relationship with me. You love me. And all I could do is preach on Sundays and Wednesdays, and I'm not looking at works. I'm looking at developing a relationship that's intimate with you, and all I could do is think of you 2 days a week when you think about me all the time. And what have I put ahead of you that I don't have time to spend with you that seemingly is more important? And I'm not cutting you down. I'm saying there's so much more. So much more. You know what else I find? I find when I'm spending that time with him, a lot of things I think about are gone. Just don't matter anymore. Because as he starts revealing himself and we get better known and things begin to develop and all of a sudden I'm kneeling there or sitting here praising him, the weight of the world seems to disappear. Because you know something? I know somebody that can handle the weight of the world. Yes. Wow. Remember the old chorus, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen. We struggle, and I've been there this last few days. We struggle with things we don't have to because we're going to try to either do it ourselves or think it through ourselves or don't want to bother God with it. That means we don't think he's going to help. And God is saying, seemed like I read, cast your what on me? For I care for you. If something's keeping you awake at night, why not give it to Jesus? Amen. If fear is coming over a lot of things, give it to Jesus. Amen. If you're being tempted with addictions, give it to Jesus. We carry things we don't have to. And God is saying, you'd find out that I'm big enough if you just come to me. So what does God have for us? What's God want to do? He wants us to love him. And to love those around us. Okay, look at me. And to love yourself. Yes. I've met many people who will not even look at loving themselves. They look at themselves as a train wreck. They look at themselves as making wrong decisions. They look at themselves as never being valuable enough. And God is saying, if you love me and you love your neighbor, I'll help you love yourself. Because without basically loving yourself, the other two are probably not going to happen the way God wants them to. We're starting a little journey. In that little journey, in that little trip, we're going to learn to pursue God. And realize it's going to take more than prayer and God's word. Oh, don't fall off your chair. It's going to take me to desire not to just be educated by the Bible, but to have the Bible developed in my life.
Yes, amen.
Where it points me to Christ.
Amen.
We can read. We can study. For what purpose? Well, I don't want to go to hell. But I don't want you to go to hell either. But let's do it for the purpose of knowing Jesus.
Amen.
How many of us ever understood why God loved us in the first place? Maybe that's where you need to start. God, why do you love me? And you hear a voice saying, let go, jump. It's imperative that our faith is grounded in an intimate relationship with God that's not shaken when the storms hit. Not shaken. God is amazing. And thank God that He loves you.
Yes,
and He's accepted you. And if you don't think He loves you, just come and kneel at that cross after church and tell God He doesn't love you. You can't look at the cross without realizing God loves you. And then go from there. And we'll develop this some more next week. But that's as far as I've come. But there's so much more in this relationship with God. Let me just simply ask you a question as I close. How many of you trust the voice of the Holy Spirit? Very interesting. Do we? Let's go from there. Because God's speaking to us all the time. We need to trust His voice. We need to walk in His leading. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will take of me and declare it to you. What the Holy Spirit is talking to you about is the same thing Christ would.